1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. Today's edition of the program, the White Sox have won 6 straight. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Troy Macker, the Senior Content Director at the Bent River Sportsbook. We talk with him about some Bears football best bets for the NFL season and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no game with Brian. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. If you have insurance needs and you haven't called them yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or find them online at ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. Success never comes easy. Nobody just wakes up in the morning and, oh, here it is, all here. I have to do no work and put in no effort. It takes a lot of time and a lot of resilience. Sacrifices need to be made. You have to be able to overcome adversity. If you can't, you're not cut out for it. You are not going to succeed if you let every little stone get in your way. Some people can't handle it, and it's fine. Don't expect, then, everything to work out. Nothing is ever handed to you. For anybody. That's a life lesson, not a sports lesson. Nothing is ever handed to you. Even if you have the best roster in football, basketball, baseball, guess what? Doesn't mean you automatically win. How many times have we seen great rosters lose? Atlanta Braves. 15 straight division championships, 1 World Series. Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux, John Smoltz, 1 World Series. All those years together, and only 1 real championship to show for it. 1986 Bears, great team, did nothing. Should have won another Super Bowl, didn't. Everybody says 85 was the greatest team I've ever seen. 86 was pretty damn good, too. Guess what? They did nothing. You have to be able to overcome adversity. You have to be able to get over injuries, issues, in order to win. Now, the White Sox are in that category. Might be surprising to some, but they are. 22 games above 500 as we talk about them today. And they've had a litany of issues entering the season and during the season. Still winning. Still lead the division. Have a 99.7% chance to make the postseason. You know what I find funny about the White Sox? To this day, we still have people criticizing Tony La Russa. Bad lineup. No baseball IQ. Made a mistake here. Doesn't know how to use his bullpen. While he has made minimal mistakes, want to read off to you the injury list for the White Sox just for the month of August. Carlos Rodon, Leury Garcia, Adam Engel, Tim Anderson, Lance Lynn, Lucas Giolito, Tim Anderson again. All in 1 month. I don't know how you even manage a team with all those injuries, but he has. And they've been winning. You're losing a Cy Young Award candidate in Lance Lynn. Top shortstop in Chicago in Tim Anderson. Giolito's gotten better. Carlos Rodon, another candidate. You're still 22 games above 500. A lot of people like to call out the fact that the White Sox can't beat teams above 500. Quote from CBS Sports, the current positions hold the AL playoff field would be White Sox, Rays, Astros, A's, and Red Sox. This season, the White Sox against those four teams are combined 7-12. And they posted a run differential of minus 26. But one complaint I've always heard about the White Sox all year, they can't beat teams above 500. What are they going to do in the postseason? Look, I agree that that's concerning. They should be doing better against these teams because chances are they're going to see it in the ALCS. Bill Rogers said White Sox Astros, and he said it could be a coin flip. But here's why I'm not worried just yet. I've read you the injuries. I want to see this team fully healthy. Fully 100% healthy, no issues, nobody hurt. I want to see them doing great. I mean, think about the whole season for the White Sox, even from the beginning. No Aloy, no Luis Robert. Yasmani Grandal was hurt. He just came back. They have constantly been fighting the injury bug. And to their credit, they're still winning. I don't care who they're facing. I don't care. Oh, they're beating the Twins. They're beating the Indians, the Royals. A win's a win. They won six straight. Oh, but they lost the series to the Yankees. Well, they beat the A's 3 out of 4. I believe they're capable of winning when their team is healthy. And that's not controversial. How are you going to win when you're piecing together some makeshift lineup every night? And to Tony La Russa's credit, he still found a way to win games and keep his team at the same pace despite all of these injuries. You're losing two potential Cy Young Award candidates in the month of August alone, still 22 games above 500. Who is that a credit to? Yes, it could be to the players filling in, but mostly it's to La Russa putting guys in and using them in the situations that work. I know it's hard. I know you want to fight it. You don't want to give La Russa credit, but the fact of the matter is, I don't know who else you could praise for this. Got a manager using some makeshift lineup, tons of different guys, trying to plug and play them at different positions, and it's still working. And look at the White Sox in August. They beat the A's 3 out of 4. Yes, they lost to the Rays 2 out of 3, but they came back, split with the Blue Jays, 2 out of 3 over the Cubs. Now they're on that win streak, beating down the Pirates. I mean, this is significant for them. Just hope more people could see it. You know, everybody's focused on the injuries and who's hurt and, oh, they can't beat good teams, but can you imagine this team fully healthy in October? Remember this, too. It's not like they're fresh, right? In a best-of-5, best-of-7 series, you're going to throw your aces out there every single day. And as of today, Dallas Keuchel, I'm sorry, you should not be in the playoff rotation. No way. I'm not going to put somebody in who is a 5 ERA. I don't care how old he is. I don't care how much experience he has. It doesn't make a difference to me. I'm not about experience. I'm about results. Yes, he won a Cy Young 5 years ago. What has he done today? 5 ERA, tons of runs given up, and he eats innings. Whoop-dee-doo. You do need innings eaters in the postseason, no question. But I'm not going to put somebody in who has a 5 ERA. That just won't happen. They need to use their top guys. Going to have to be a 3-man rotation, so it's still going to be pretty tough to determine who should go in and who shouldn't. But I like Giolito. I like Lynn if healthy and Rodon. And Cease would be the number 4. If you want to keep Keuchel in the mix, put him in the bullpen. Think about this. What if one of those guys totally sputters out? You could bring in Keuchel, Kopech, Lopez. All of them have started games for the White Sox this year, and they've been productive. That wouldn't be a bad idea. Bullpen's getting better, too. Hendricks has continued to anchor the closer spot. Craig Kimbrell hasn't really done well, which is a bit surprising to me. It looks like the Cubs won that trade. But Tapera's done good. Bummer's getting better. And Crochet is at a 3.02 ERA. And this lineup continues to hit. That's their bread and butter. I mean, when you have everybody almost still, with OPS Plus is above 100, 1 through 9, that's literally unprecedented. That never happens. I've never seen a team like that. It's Monty Grandal at 923 on an OPS, 154 OPS Plus. Aloy at 124. Adam Engel at 130. When he comes back, he'll be a big contributor. Jose Abreu just won Player of the Month in August, 102 RBIs already. I mean, this team is so talented. And look, I know at the end of the day, if they don't do anything this year, it's not the end of the world, right? I mean, they're going to be good for 5 to 7 years, but I'd like to see them make a run. They are talented enough to make a run today. They're talented enough to be in the World Series, no question. They have the pitching, they have the hitting. When you have 7, 8, 9 guys with OPS pluses above 100, and you have 2 legitimate Cy Young Award candidates in your 5-man rotation, there is no reason why you should not be at least in the ALCS, if not World Series. And they're doing all this despite overcoming all these injuries, and they're still finding ways to win. I have never been more impressed with any team across baseball. They've suffered so many injuries. The criticism's always been there. Oh, why can't they beat good teams? Wait till they're healthy. And they're still winning, despite not being 100%. Say what you want about Tony La Russa. He's put together some crafty lineups to win games. Plain and simple. That's a fact. And the guys who he does put in perform, to their credit. Actually do well. I mean, I read you those injuries just from August. Tim Anderson, Giolito, Lynn, Anderson again, Engel, Garcia, Rodon. And you're telling me this team is 22 games above 500 today? How the hell is that possible? I've never seen a team with that many injuries winning. And not just winning, dominating. They beat the A's 3 out of 4. Riding high in a win streak. Lead the division, haven't lost really any games as far as being up. They've still been the same dominant team that they were back in June. And I do believe when they're fully healthy, when everybody has no issues to worry about injury-wise, they're going to make a big run in October. I see it. If they're doing this now, with these many guys on the mend, imagine what happens when they're fully healthy. I want to mention this too. Imagine Rick Renteria managing this team. That's all I got to say. I'm not a hater of Rick Renteria. I liked him. I thought he did good with what he had last year. But the fact of the matter is, I don't think he'd be equipped to deal with all these injuries. Very few managers could deal with this. Even some established guys in the game today. To lose all these great players, your starting catcher, 2 of your starting pitchers who happen to be Cy Young Award candidates, starting shortstop, outfielders, and you're still winning at the same pace you've always been. That's pretty damn impressive to me. Not everybody is equipped to handle this situation. And I can't even imagine the pressure around La Russa and this whole team. Everyone knows the Sox are supposed to be great this year. That adds to the issue. Not easy. Not easy to please everybody. Not easy to keep winning and be expected to win when all your key players are down. They're still doing it. They're still winning today. In fact, they're thriving. They're moving into the month of September. With all these injuries, all these issues, doesn't phase them. What did I say to open up this show? Success never comes easy. You don't just wake up in the morning and say, oh, I win, I'm good. No. Your ability to overcome adversity will determine how much success you have. Everybody's great when things are going great. What happens when there's a bad turn? What do? How do you react? The White Sox have reacted in the best way possible. They don't care. Someone gets hurt. Okay, next man up. Let's go and win a ball game. That's the reason, like come October when you have to make a playoff roster, they're going to be good. Depth, they're going to be great at depth. I'm just really in love with this team. And I'm very, very impressed at the whole operation top to bottom. The fact that they're winning all these games with all their star players hurt is unbelievable. Remember in March, April, May, fire Tony La Russa. They're not starting off right. Oh, he forgot. He forgot what the count was. He forgot the rules. Where are those people today? Oh, never mind. They're still here finding something else to complain about. You know, it's so funny. This team will win a World Series at some point. Maybe not this year, next year, year after. And there will still be detractors claiming Tony La Russa is the wrong manager. How do I know this? Well, look at the Cubs and Joe Maddon. To this day, people are saying, we won the World Series and Joe Maddon had nothing to do with it. Really? Nothing? I get it, you had a good roster, but nothing? Come on. We both know that's completely a farce. Same's going to happen here. And there could be two different narratives. One is, La Russa did nothing and he hurt the White Sox too. Wow, a guy comes back from 2012, manages the first team he ever managed again, and wins a World Series. That's a hell of a narrative and a great story. But which one do you think the media is going to latch onto? That, or he almost cost them the World Series. Fire him. I think we all know what the truth is there. I think the White Sox have done an outstanding job at getting to where they are today. Despite injuries, despite key players going down, Cy Young Award candidates, MVP candidates even, to an extent, getting hurt, spending time in the IL. To see them where they are today is virtually impossible. And they're there. You could blame it on an easy schedule, or you could say, well, despite the easy schedule, they're still winning. They don't have their best guys. They don't have their real starting lineup and real starting rotation, and guess what? They're still beating Major League Baseball teams. I don't know, to me, that's something to celebrate. And I do believe when they're healthy, come October, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. I would hope a World Series championship. I do believe at least ALCS. If they don't get there, it's a disappointment. But based on how they played, there is no reason why they can't win it all. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Troy Macker comes up next. Stay tuned. Talk Chicago. Everett John Zaglul, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the senior content manager at Rush Street Interactive and the Bet River Sportsbook. Please welcome Troy Macker to the program. Troy, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. It's exciting time. It ramped up for football season, and it's a good time to be a sports fan and a sports bettor.
So Troy, let's start with the Bears as we talk about football season. What do you make of them being +210 for a playoff spot?
I think it's adjusted a bit based off the amount of action that we take on the Bears. I think if you look at the NFC North odds and how the public has been betting, it's been more split than you would imagine. I think a lot of that has to do with the Packers offseason. If not for, Aaron Rodgers, will he, won't he? I think you're looking at the Packers being backed by a lot more money and a lot more bets, but the public really didn't get around to wagering on the Packers until late July. So, the Vikings, who have one of the best running backs in the NFL, and Dalvin Cook, they got some love. The Bears will always get some love at Bet Rivers because, we are so strong in the Midwest. So, I think that the odds and the numbers are a little bit more even than you would anticipate, especially given that the Bears don't know who their quarterback is. They are telling us they know who their quarterback is in Danny Dalton, but I don't think anyone wants to believe it. And, you know, so it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out. I'm really fascinated by the NFC North this year. And that's not even, and we haven't even mentioned the Lions, who have a new quarterback, who, and the Lions could be better than I think people anticipate, just because that division could be all over the map.
How could the Bears' odds change based on the quarterback? Like, if they put in Justin Fields, how do you expect the line to move?
That's a really interesting question, because while Justin Fields is, you know, leading the pack in terms of bets and handle to win Rookie of the Year, we have a lot of Justin Fields action. He is still a rookie who has never played in the NFL. And while the public is critical of Andy Dalton, he is a longtime veteran quarterback who has made playoffs. Certainly he hasn't won a game, but he led to the Bengals to five or six playoff appearances. So I would think there would be adjustment away from the Bears, just because you're, even though you think Justin Fields may have a higher ceiling than Andy Dalton, and I believe most of us do, he doesn't have the experience. So you don't know what you're going to get. So I would expect, if Justin Fields comes in week three, week four, to see a sharp adjustment in how the lines are being set on the Bears.
Do you think he surpasses 3,000 passing yards and 16 touchdowns? I know those are pretty prominent prop bets for Fields this season. Do you think he gets there?
I would say no, just because unless Matt Nagy is running us through the ringer and is hoodwinking all of us. And the only reason I say no on Justin Fields reaching those numbers is we are unsure of how many games he will play. It could be 10 plus. It could be 4 or 5. You know, if Andy Dalton has a strong start and the defense leads the way, they're just going to let him game manage and plow through it. So I think if Justin Fields is playing every game, I like him to reach those numbers. But I am unsure, and I think most people are unsure, of how many games he'll play.
Do you think he deserves to start right away? If you were Matt Nagy, would you put him in?
Oh, okay. So, yes, I think I would. But there's two schools of thought. If you draft high, and you're saying, hey, well, we don't think he's going to be ready until week three or week four. What's 3 or 4 weeks? You know, if he's going to be ready in week four, he's probably close enough to being ready now. However, part of that could also be we have 17 games this season. The offensive line is a bit of a nightmare, and it's more about protecting your asset long term from a health standpoint. You don't want Justin Fields to get injured, and maybe it's going to take 3 or 4 weeks to figure out the consistency on that offensive line. So there are two schools of thought. I myself would play Justin Fields if I saw during the preseason he is meeting his marks and learning the playbook and all that, which I think we can all agree he has done a pretty good job of that. He had a very good performance and a not so good performance in the preseason, but I would go with Justin Fields to learn what you have sooner rather than later. Now, again, you know, you want to help minimize injury, but at the same time, it's the NFL. And as soon as you step on the field, the injury risk is there. So, you know, they could wait 5 weeks, 8 weeks, and then on the very first snap, you could get injured. That is just part of the NFL. So I would start Justin Fields because you drafted him high and he's looked very good.
Troy Macker here on Sports Talk Chicago. Troy, what excites you about Fields in this game?
His playmaking ability. He doesn't have the world's greatest arm talent, but he can sling a good ball. And I think more than anything, his poise and IQ. This is a guy who can be a leader, has natural leader, is a great guy to be around. And that's the guy you kind of want, you know, ducks on a pond, where below the surface, his feet might be moving a mile a minute, but above the surface, he's calm, cool, and collected. And I think he also just has franchise talent. And that's what you need at the quarterback position. You need someone that is going to make the defense readjust everything they're doing. And I think he does that. Now, again, can he throw the types of passes that Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady can throw? No, he can't. But I think he can do all the things in between. And again, he is such a good prospect because of what's going on in between his ears. And I think that is super valuable when looking at the next step and progression of a young, talented quarterback.
See the savior for the Bears, Troy. Will they finally get the quarterback position right with Fields?
I think he's the guy. You know, if you're looking at the quarterbacks in this class that they would have had the opportunity to get, is thinking that, you know, they weren't going to get Trevor Lawrence. I really like Justin Fields. You know, he has got a good size. He's maybe not the biggest quarterback in the world, but he can move with his feet. I think he is the type of quarterback that you need to draft if you want to solidify that franchise position, which the Bears haven't had since Jim McMahon. I don't even know.
How far do you think they go if Fields comes in week four and stays in for the rest of the year? I mean, is this a playoff team?
I think it is. I think it's I wouldn't peg them as a division championship contender or outright championship winner for the division. You know, I think they're looking at a wild card, 9-8, something like that, or 8-9. And I think I would not be surprised, you know, with 17 games this year, if you have a wild card team, especially from the NFC, get in there at 8-9. Kind of like the NFC East last year, where we had a team with 7-9. I think they will be in and around 500. I think a lot of that has to do with just their defense. You know, this is a team that can take a risk at quarterback because, you know, Mitch Trubisky was decent, bad, good, had a great game, bad again. And yet they were still in the playoffs last year because of that defense. So I think they are going to be in the hunt for the playoffs. I would not peg them as my pick to win the NFC North, but I would not be surprised in the slightest if they make the playoffs because the defense, they have talented players in the skill positions, and they have a high-level, talented young quarterback.
So do you see him going over 7.5 wins?
Oh, man, that's if they want to make the playoffs. Yeah. I think, you know, what they do in their first four games and what they do in their last four games is super important. I think if they get off to at least 500 start with Dalton, that will set them up for success. If you want to hit your overs, it really, for me, it's your first four games and your last four games, because in between there is bye weeks and really figuring out who you are. But in the NFL, there's no time to waste, and you have to finish strong. So you got to get out of the blocks quickly, and then you got to make sure that everything's all your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed in weeks 15, 16, 17, 18, when some teams are injured, preparing for the playoffs, focusing on next season. You got to win the games that you can, and you got to win some games that maybe people wouldn't peg.
Troy Macker, you're on Sports Talk Chicago. Troy, who's your favorite for NFL MVP?
Man, this is boring, but I would say Patrick Mahomes. I think he's the best player in the NFL. A lot of people are on Josh Allen, and I'm not going to criticize them. He is exceptionally good. I was laughing at people who took Josh Allen at plus 6,000 last year, and he was probably the runner up to win MVP. The reason why I'm not leaning towards his direction this season, he has to replicate that again. And now the expectations are there. Stephon Diggs has to have if not better season than he did last season. And the Bills haven't had repeat success in what seems like two decades. So, I think Josh Allen could be the MVP. I got to wait and see with him, which is why you can't go wrong with Patrick Mahomes. Weapons across the field, IQ through the roof, makes plays every which way. And I'm not ready to think that Justin Herbert with a new coach is going to make that massive leap. If you're really looking for someone, I don't think repeat winners are going to happen. Aaron Rodgers, no. Tom Brady may win a Super Bowl again, but I don't think he's going to win MVP. Dak Prescott coming back from injury. Kyler Murray, for me, is that next step. If we've seen Lamar Jackson win an MVP and we've seen Patrick Mahomes win an MVP, and now he has not just, DeAndre Hopkins, but A.J. Green, a solid running backs. I think if you're looking for someone in the middle of the pack who's going to make that next step and become the next face of the NFL, it's probably Kyler Murray. That division is very tight, very competitive, and if they can win that division, I think a lot of people will be looking at Kyler Murray because, all those teams in the division can make the playoffs.
How do you think Arizona does this year with those new weapons and with Murray entering a new season?
I think they do really well. I'm high on Arizona, in large part because they have the longest odds to win the NFC West. It's like plus 450. It's not great compared to other teams that are in the fourth place position. But, the Rams have a new quarterback. And while Matthew Stafford can sling the rock, it's a new quarterback in a new system. The Seahawks are going to be good. They always are. The 49ers, for me, is the question mark. A lot of people are high on them. I know they had just a bevy of injuries last year. They have maybe the best tight end in the NFL, but they have two quarterbacks, and one of them is a rookie. And if my philosophy is you don't have two quarterbacks, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't really have one. That the same could be said about the Bears. I do not think the 49ers are going to win the division, and the public seems to be leaning that way. I think Arizona is ripe to finish much higher than where the public is projecting early prior to the season, and the weapons there, and they have players on defense as well. Yes, I know Cliff Kingsbury may not be the world's greatest tactical coach, but the talent is there. They have the best wide receiver in the NFL. They have the best, one of the best young athletic quarterbacks that really changes how you play defense. I like the Cardinals to hit the over on wins and to make the playoffs.
Has Kingsbury held them back? Do you think with a different coach, maybe the results would be different?
Potentially, but I also think that, you know, with those players and with that quarterback specifically, you need a guy who's just going to kind of roll the ball out, let him play. You know, I don't know if you want to pen Kyler Murray in between the hashes. But at the same time, you know, Cliff Kingsbury has been given more chances than most head coaches at high levels. And, you know, not making the playoffs last year was a disappointment. I think there is some pressure on him. But again, I think that the division is anyone's for the taking. It's going to be competitive, but all four teams are good. And, you know, they have to clean up and win the games towards the end of the season when they're close. You know, they lost their last two games against teams that were playing for nothing. So that has to change. Coach, he has to get them at least one win because of his coaching. That's for sure. And I know he didn't do that last year.
Okay, so I saw Jameis Winston, Troy, at plus 5,000 for the NFL MVP. What do you make of that?
Oh, it's fun, isn't it? I mean, he won't win the MVP. He doesn't have the Saints' best wide receiver, who's one of the five best wide receivers in the NFL, Michael Thomas. Yes, they have Alvin Kamara. He looked really good in the preseason. But, you know, Sean Payton is probably going to use Taysom Hill, so that's going to hurt him. And the interceptions. I can't imagine Winston throws 42 interceptions like he did his last season in Tampa Bay, but I think that's what's going to hurt him is he makes as many good plays as he makes bad plays. And those bad plays aren't just bad passes that go out of bounds or come up short or turnover and downs. They're interceptions, which is, you know, leaving scoreable points on the board. I think he is a good bet if you're looking to cash out later in the season. You know, I think he may surge up in the rankings and his odds will move up. And therefore, if you took him at plus 5,000 and in week six, he's at plus 1,800, if you cash out, that's money right there. So I don't think he's going to win, but I see the value in taking him because of his arm, what the Saints like to do. And, you know, the division they play in, they have a healthy schedule against teams with some weak secondary. So I think he'll be able to make some noise.
Is that the biggest long shot bet for the NFL this year? And if not, what is?
For MVP, yes. A player who is not, you know, plus 2,500 or so or closer, he has more bets in handle than anyone. You know, and really the only person who comes close is, you know, Derrick Henry, who's also plus 5,000, but you know, he would have to do even better than what he did last year or the year before. And it's, you know, when was the last time a running back got MVP? Was it Adrian Peterson? Which seems like decades ago. It's probably going to be a quarterback. It almost has to be nowadays. And so that's, you know, one of the reasons why Jameis Winston has a little bit longer odds, because there are just so many more quarterbacks potential, you know, even with, you know, guys like Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield, or if Carson Wentz has a good bit of handle on him, if he's healthy. So really interesting. But I think it's good that Jameis is in the spotlight. People love to joke on him. He likes to have fun. And I think it's just good for football that we're talking about him.
More to come with Troy Macker in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Max here on Sports Talk Chicago. Troy, a few more questions before we finish up. First off, what's your problem with G2?
Okay, so I love Gatorade. It's like probably my favorite drink of all time. I'm a traditionalist. I like the yellow, the orange, the red. I don't even call them their colors. Gatorade too, and all sorts of I am a Gatorade apologist. There was a 4-year window where I think that was the only liquid I drank every day. I was out coaching and working on fields, and it is my lifeblood. G2 is disgusting. It tastes like they added melted plastic in there. It's like the Diet Coke of Gatorade, and Gatorade is so perfect for me. The traditional Gatorade flavors, the flavor is nailed perfectly. It's a little sweet, but I could drink Gatorade and nothing else for the rest of my life. G2 it's so bitter, and it's just, I feel uncomfortable drinking it. And it is really, I think, because people don't like, you know, nowadays it's everything's watered down and unconcentrated. I see G2 all over the place so much more. If I'm, you know, at an event and there's a cooler, or if, you know, at like a media availability and there's a walk-in cooler, it's always G2. And G2 is, in my opinion, absolutely disgusting. I think vitamin water is better than G2, and it has the same nasty Diet Coke taste as G2.
Well, Troy, it's healthier. Don't you want to be healthier?
No, I mean, yeah. It's the McDonald's situation where you go to McDonald's and you get a Big Mac and a supersize it, and you ask for the Diet Coke. It's like, come on, but you're like, if you're already drinking it, why? You don't need to be healthy. Like, drink water if you want to be healthy.
And Troy, before we finish up today, last question. You might piss off some Chicago people here. Why is deep dish not pizza?
Okay, so it's the same reason that but a calzone isn't pizza. It's a stuffed pizza. A deep dish, it's a deep dish. I don't think it needs the pizza designation because it's gone so far away from what pizza is. It's a pizza-like casserole. And that's not to say that it's not good. And there's a bone of contention where people clown on deep dish not being pizza, and that also needs to indicate that it's not good. That's false. Deep dish is good, but it's also not pizza. It's too thick. The sauce is too sweet. There's like no cheese on top. It is a very good Italian like dish. It's just like the calzone. People say it's stuffed pizza. No, it's not. It's a calzone. If it was a pizza, it would be flat and not stuffed. It would be open face and everything on top. Deep dish is a casserole. It is not pizza, but I do like deep dish. I will say that I have no problem eating deep dish, but it's not Chicago style pizza. It's not deep dish pizza. It's just deep dish. Just call it deep dish. Lose the pizza.
Well, at least you said you liked it, so you didn't lose any Chicago detractors here. Troy, thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate the time as always, and best wishes as the NFL season ramps up. Can't wait to talk again soon. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Great talk there with Troy Macker, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Troy Macker himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalbin, to Marlboro Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zaglua. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Never the turn off!